In a world of Democrats,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
And Republicans,
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
You need a voice of liberty. Look no further. You found it. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It's Friday, November 28th, 2014. I'm still out of town for Thanksgiving. I'm sharing with you today an interview that a lot of people said they liked. And so I feel pretty good about sharing with you, not too terribly guilty about sharing it with you. It is a real show, in other words, like you'll actually enjoy it, I hope. And this is a chat I had with Jeff Berwick. If you're a longtime listener, you'll recall we had Jeff on our show. Jeff is about as interesting a guy as you could possibly ask for, and no conversation with him is ever dull. This is a conversation we had on his show Anarchast, and you can find out more about that and view previous episodes at anarchast.com. It's spelled just the way you would think. It's like anarchy, except without the Y, it's an A-S-T, anarchast.com. Before we get to that, though, remember, it's Black Friday today, so of course, there's a Liberty Classroom deal. Our gift page normally is $99 a year. If you want to get a gift subscription for somebody to libertyclassroom.com, it's $99 a year. But we're cutting that in half, $49.50, 50% off for 11 courses for a lifeline to professors that you and anybody you designate can trust. And this is the way you go from, I wish I knew more, to actually knowing more. Like, we all want to know more, but what do we do about it? We wish we knew more. We don't do anything about it, and I'm guilty of this, too. I sure wish I knew more about that. Hey, look, a shiny thing. You know, and then I'm off to something else. This will help keep you disciplined. This will help get you to that point where you can feel self-confident, where you can say, wow, I've got a real mastery of this material. I can defend myself. I can spread this message. I can be effective. And you don't have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of time. This maximizes the bang for your buck in terms of your time. You get all these courses you can listen to on the go, and we've already narrowed down what you should be reading. Don't worry about all this fluff. Here's what you should read if you want to also. You don't have to read if you don't want to, but if you really, really want to master it, we've narrowed down the reading for you too. This is to make it as painless and efficient as possible. So libertyclassroom.com. Use coupon code FRIDAY in all caps to get this deal for yourself. If you get a gift subscription at libertyclassroom.com/gift, no coupon code is necessary. All right, let's turn now to Anarchast with Jeff Berwick talking to me.
Hey, freedom fighters. Welcome to another edition of Anarchast, your home for anarchy on the internet. I'm really excited because I finally got on a person. This has been the world record for Anarchast of trying to get a person on. It's been at least 2 years. We've interviewed more than 170 anarchists while we're waiting to get a hold of him. He actually has a very good excuse, though. He's been recording 415 videos for libertyclassroom.com, and Tom tells me that he's going to have his life back in about 4 months, but he managed to make 30 minutes for us today, which I really appreciate. So I want to get right to it so we don't waste too much of his time. He's an author. He's written 11 books. He just has a new book out that he wants to talk about that sounds really interesting. So we're going to talk about many things. So, but before we get into all that, Tom, I have to ask you, how did you become an anarchist?
Well, first of all, Jeff, thanks for having me. I was glad to have you as a guest on my own show some time ago. And you're right. I've been making all these videos for the Ron Paul homeschool program, which maybe we can talk about a little bit later. One of the courses that I prepared for it, by the way, is a government course, but I privately call it my anti-government course, because the whole thing is, I've got Lysander Spooner in there. Like, these kids aren't going to know what hit them by the time they're finished. But to answer your question, I got interested in this stuff about, well, I guess a little over 20 years ago. I started off as a middle-of-the-road Republican. Like, I wanted to cut the budget a little bit, and I wanted foreign policy bellicosity. You know, like the typical, you know, loser, pretty much. That's what I was, and I didn't know any better. I didn't know any alternatives.
So I just fell into the Rush Limbaugh crowd, and I eventually crawled my way out of there. I do actually talk a little bit about my own experiences and how I got out of it in my new book. But to make a long story short, I got acquainted with the works of Rothbard, for instance. And I thought, this guy is so great. I loved reading him. I loved his articles. He was still alive when I got to know about him, and I even got to meet him a number of times. And I loved him. But I thought, you know, I can go with him 90, 95% of the way, but I just can't make those last few percentage points work. But it stayed with me. It stayed with me. And then over the years, I passed through a number of phases in the 1990s. Like, I was like a Buchananite for a while, and I, you know, paleo this and that for a while, and just trying to find my way. Like, I had been really, really startled by Rothbard, and I knew I wasn't a leftist, and I couldn't figure out what I really was. But finally, in the early, probably 2001, or 2002, 2001 or two, whenever Hans Hoppe's book, Democracy, the God That Failed, came out, I read that, and that really confirmed for me that I belonged in the Rothbardian camp. Like, I thought, everything I believe about the way society works and everything I know about the way government works tells me that I should prefer voluntary solutions. Everything, the economic analysis, the moral analysis, the history, everything tells me that. So why am I such a, you know, mealy-mouthed pansy about just taking the whole message? And I, plus, I didn't like the idea that I still felt like, well, I do need John McCain for something. You know, it was liberating to be able to say, maybe I don't need that SOB for anything. So it really was a matter of just taking what I believed and bringing it to its logical conclusion. But, you know, a lot of times people say, what's the difference between a minarchist and an anarchist? And the answer is 6 months. Well, for me, it was like 8 years. Because it was 8 years of fighting it off and saying, no, I can't go that way. But I just decided that it seems like everything the state is involved in is an awful fiasco for humanity. So maybe it never deserves the benefit of the doubt. And before you say, but wait a minute, what about courts? Unless you've read what our side has written on that subject, don't come telling me that that's the objection. Read what we've said and then talk to me.
Yeah, not to mention government courts are heinous.
Exactly. Why would you hold these up as a great model? In fact, that's a great argument for our side.
Yeah, if you can even get in, if you actually have a real problem, it's going to be years, and then it's going to be hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, and then they're probably just going to decide on based on who their best friends are and things like that, and it's ridiculous.
Which is exactly what people, if they're presented with the idea of a private alternative, they say that's what the private alternative would be like, and yet they're living in that right now. They can't sit, the blockage in their minds is shocking.
Yeah, well, at least the private ones would be faster and cheaper, even if they're just as bad as the government courts. They'd be way faster and cheaper because they want to get people in and out of there. They want to make some money. The government courts is just it's just a nightmare.
And you can already see that with private arbitration services, even today, which are flourishing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was one called Judge.me, which was around. I think was started by a narco-capitalist, and I think they shut down or something.
They did shut down. I wonder why. It's too bad because I loved that idea. I had him on the Peter Schiff show once, the founder of that.
Oh, you did. Yeah,
neat guy. Yeah.
Yeah. If anyone knows him and knows what happened, maybe let us know here, and maybe we could have him on and discuss that, because I thought that was a great idea, and I'd like to know why it did get shut down or why it stopped, because I think we need more of those. Anyway, let's get on to a number of other things. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with your book, or you want to start with homeschooling?
Let's start with the homeschooling. I want to distinguish two things.
Sure.
But before I even got involved in this Ron Paul homeschool program, I had my own sort of adult enrichment website called libertyclassroom.com, which is distinct from that. I started it almost 3 years ago now, and the idea was that with the internet, there's no excuse for just sitting around complaining. Produce something. If you don't like what's going on in the university system or whatever, then make your own whatever it is. So I made my own courses on U.S. history or courses on economics or whatever, philosophy, all these sorts of things where I'm sure a lot of people listening to this right now, when we were all being educated, we got some propaganda version of it. And I thought, well, look, I got credentials. I've written a lot of books. I'm going to produce courses with friends I trust that can be listened to on the go, where people can get the education that we all should have gotten, but frankly, the vast majority of us didn't get. And it's a liberty perspective. And so we've got something like 11. We got 11 courses now that are on demand. We got Q&A forums. Get all your questions answered. I want to build up an intellectual cadre, and so I've done that with libertyclassroom.com. But then I got this thing, well, Ron Paul wants to do a homeschool program K through 12. Great. I think that's a fantastic idea. There are parents who write to me all the time and say, what can my 8-year-old read? What can my 10-year-old read? And my answer usually is, I don't know, nothing. I don't know. Like, there are very few resources out there. But a whole curriculum is incredibly exciting to me. So I'm doing courses for the high school. I'm doing my anti-government course. I got two courses on Western civilization, 2 years worth. I'm going to do a course on the U.S. Constitution, but again, it's going to have Lysander Spooner in it. It's not going to be like any course you've ever seen on that sort of subject. It's taking a lot of time because each course, it's like a real full-year course, 36 weeks, 5 videos per week. That's 180 videos per course, and I'm doing 3 full courses plus a half a course. I mean, it's just, it can't be done, basically, but I'm basically doing it because I feel like this is there's no more important thing I can do, given the talents that I have. There are a lot of talents I don't have, but what I can do is teach and speak and write. There's nothing more important that I can be doing than this, than creating this material that can be used for basically for generations to help people learn, and not just to propagandize them. I mean, you're going to learn a whole lot about Western Civ and about a whole variety of topics. So the website is ronpaulhomeschool.com. And then my courses, if people don't want to join the whole program, they just want my courses, well, guess what? It's tomwoodshomeschool.com. So those are my academic projects right now that are sucking the life out of me, but it's for a good cause.
Yeah, I agree. It's much needed, and I'm glad to hear you're doing it and doing the impossible and doing 400 of these videos. It's quite the endeavor. Yeah, it's great, but it shows how passionate you are about it, and it is very needed. I just wrote today, actually, about schooling on the dollar vigilante, and we're having a conference here in Acapulco called Narcapulco at the end of February, and we're going to have a number of different people who are really into different ways of dealing with children, raising, I hate the word raising, but interacting with children, including Dana Martin, who is a radical unschooler, so she doesn't have her kids in any form of school whatsoever. Very interesting, they're very entrepreneurial, all her kids are under 10 years old, and they already have their own businesses and stuff, which is very interesting as well. So it's, yeah, these are the kinds of things we need to be doing, because these government indoctrination camps are not, I actually consider it almost child abuse to send your kids to these nowadays, especially with the SWAT teams they send in to do their active shooter drill raids without telling anybody. It's insane what's going on in the actual public schools right now in the U.S.
And when you consider that you have to spend all your time basically unteaching what your kids just learned, it kind of, yeah, it's true that you get it for free, in quotation marks, but given that I value it at less than zero, that's not a bargain.
Yeah, doesn't really work out. Let's talk a little bit about history, because you're so knowledgeable about it. And one of the things I just wrote about recently as well is about how much people think about history that's just totally wrong. Of course, they're always taking it, especially if they're from the U.S., they go to U.S. government schools, they're going to get the U.S.'s version of history. Now, that's obvious, so there's going to be quite a bit of a skew towards the U.S. government and all this stuff, but there's so much of history that's just completely, completely wrong. There's almost no way to explain it more than that, is that what most people think of history is just totally false.
Well, at least a lot of the major episodes are explained in a very tendentious way. I mean, you can get, a lot of the names and dates are correct in the books, and, those sorts of things are right. But the understanding that's involved is totally wrong. So people get the impression that capitalism caused the Great Depression, and the Federal Reserve has stabilized the economy, and the United States government had more or less righteous reasons for being involved in its various wars. And if it weren't for anti-discrimination law, everybody would be who belongs to a racial minority group would be earning 10 cents an hour today. Even though, every one of these statements, like the anti-discrimination thing, the trends upward, what tends to happen is the government will get involved in something, whether it's workplace safety, working conditions, anti-discrimination, safety on the highways, whatever it is, there'll already be a trend going in a positive direction. then the government will intervene and take credit for an already existing trend, and we'll think, oh, what would we do without them? There was already a trend toward increasing safety on the highways. There was already a huge trend toward increasing safety on the job. But the government takes credit for this, and we don't bother to look. We look at these statistics after the government gets involved. Nobody bothers to look at, well, what was happening before the government got involved? I mean, that's a relevant question. So in case after case after case, or in the 19th century, well, we get the view that in the 19th century we had terrible monopolists who dominated the economy, and if it weren't for wise public servants coming up with antitrust law, we'd all be under the iron fist of our feudal overlords in the private sector. There is no truth to any of that. But every one of us gets that in school. And why do we get that in school? Because it flatters the regime. Because then they get to be portrayed as the great saviors of the rest of us. So we can't often enough smash and undermine the received version of history, which is used as an instrument of domination by the state.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really incredible. As you pointed out, there's a great point that, yeah, some of the dates and names are correct. And that's what public indoctrination camps are really for, is to make – you don't get ahead by thinking about these things. You get ahead by memorizing what the state wants you to memorize. So you have all the dates and you have some names, but the much more important thing is what really the context of the entire situation, as you pointed out, and then they always slant it towards, oh, the government saved this, the government saved that, when that's never actually been the case. It's actually pretty much impossible for government to save anything. It's a violent course of thieving institution. I don't see how, if you believe government can help anything, then I guess you can believe that mafia helps things, because there's really no difference between the government and mafia except for size.
Well, you could say, I mean, the mafia could, well, if they took over your town, maybe they could build a bridge. Well, look, if they couldn't build a bridge with all the guns they have, I would be shocked. You know, like occasionally they will successfully build a bridge. But, you know, for heaven's sake, we have to be able to look beyond obvious things like that. When they siphon off resources from you and arbitrarily deploy them on some project, that does not make you wealthy.
Right. And if the mafia did build a bridge, it pretty quickly would just become government, because that's all the only real difference is the government kind of gives you a few things back and kind of makes you feel like you're getting your money's worth for being totally owned by them. So, it's pretty funny. Let's talk about your book. I think it just came out recently, and very interesting concept. Why don't you let people know about the book?
Yeah. OK. The book is called Real Dissent, and the subtitle is A Libertarian Sets Fire to the Index Card of Allowable Opinion. Yeah. So the idea of the book is that so many Americans act as if we've all been issued a little 3x5 card listing all the opinions we're allowed to hold, and they more or less comply with this. They confine themselves to those opinions. So you can talk about what rate the income tax should be imposed at, or you can even talk about getting rid of the income tax as long as you replace it with an equal sales tax. Well, you know, if this is the debate, no wonder we're losing, right? Why would I want to go along with a debate whose terms are framed by people who despise me? And it's not just the income tax. I mean, everything. Foreign policy. What kind of debate do we ever have on foreign policy? I mean, it's either should we bomb them or just try and starve them to death first and then bomb them later? Like, that's the great – and then we've got the realists and the idealists. And the realists say, well, we should try to hold off on bombing until we have to, which is usually 10 minutes later than the idealists want to bomb. Like, it's incredible. These people are called idealists. You know, and kids are walking
around
with no limbs.
Bunch of peace-loving hippies.
Exactly. If only they were. You know, I mean, and it's so funny that, you know, the Clintons were – I think, involved in that counterculture, at least somewhat. And then they just turned out to be mad bombers themselves. So, again, there's no real dissent. So my book is, I mean, really a punch in the face. The first section is on foreign policy. And I'm doing this as a way of expiating for my own sins. When I was a younger guy, I told you already, I was a Rush Limbaugh guy. I was for every military intervention there was. Because I thought if you were against the U.S. military, you were a pinko commie who hates America. Like, that's, you know, and so that's why when I meet neocons today who believe that, I think, you know, I have to condemn your views, but yet I see myself in you. You know, I see the old Tom Woods in you, and I want to get you out of that. And so I talk about, and I hammer home on this, I really hit the conservatives hard in this opening section. Like, I could have done the easy way out and had the opening section be, my replies to anti-capitalists, well, because everybody would love that. But instead, I took the hard case. I took the foreign policy on first. So I got that. I got a section on the Fed, all these arguments that, well, the Fed, after all, has given us fewer recessions and it got rid of the 19th century panics. All that stuff is in there. It's just relentless. But in particular, there's a section of the book that really gave me the idea for the book, which is my replies to all the attacks on libertarianism that have been going on really since Ron Paul. I mean, Slate has got an attack on libertarianism like every 10 seconds. And people will send me these articles and they'll say, Woods, you've got to smack down this article. Because for some reason, people look to me as the guy to answer these. So I've started to specialize in replies to critics of libertarianism. So I thought, hey, you guys seem to like these. I'll take a whole bunch of them, a lot of them you've never even seen before, and I'll put them in a section of the book. So it's now what's nice about the book, it's kind of an anarcho book in a way. Because, as I say, it's called Real Dissent. I made a site called realdissent.com that promotes the book. Well, what I love about it is, even just a few years ago, I would have had to hire a graphic designer to design me my own landing page for the book. Because if you go to realdissent.com, you know, it talks about the book, you got links to it. I narrated the audiobook myself. My publishers, I've always gone through mainstream publishers, big publishers. They never even asked me if I wanted to narrate the audiobook. They hire some guy who's like reading the instructions for a microwave oven. Like, it's horrifying. So I did it myself, and there's a link for a free version of the audiobook. Well, anyway, realdissent.com, I designed it myself. Now, I have about as much graphic design ability as I have athletic ability. And I'll give you a hint. I don't have much of that. But I was able to do it because, thanks to the great entrepreneurial work that goes on every day, somebody came up with the idea, let's make great templates for landing pages so that idiots like Tom Woods can go there, plug in the graphics, plug in the text and the links, and it looks like somebody did this for me. But I did it. I did it myself, and it makes the book look like an event. And the thing is, I published this book on my own. I've never self-published before. I've gone through Random House. I've gone through Basic Books. I've gone through big publishers. But I thought, at this point, I've built up enough of a following that I don't have to have a big marketing arm anymore. It'd be nice, but I get triple the royalties, so that makes up for the fact I don't have a big marketing arm behind me. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to try this out on my own. I'm going to record the audiobook myself. I'm going to put out a Kindle edition that's very inexpensive, and I'll put out a paperback edition. And this thing has done fantastically well in terms of getting copies out there. Everybody seems to be happy with it. As an author, I'll tell you that most authors earn zero. I mean, people think you write a book and you live off the royalties. They know nothing about nonfiction publishing. I've had two New York Times bestsellers. I was very fortunate. But book publishing, especially in nonfiction, is hard. And I have done very, very well with Real Dissent because now I have an audience that likes what I'm producing. I haven't had a book in nearly 4 years, and this thing just took off. And it was with a landing page that I designed for like $50. Unbelievable, right? It's incredible the opportunities that are there for independent entrepreneurs now because somebody has done all the work for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really interesting to hear. Actually, now I understand why you're so busy. Since I've been talking to you, you've written a book. You did the audiobook yourself, which takes some time.
Oh, it does it ever. Does it ever. I was up at 5 in the morning, which to me is like 2:30 in the morning. Like, I mean, what the world? But I had to bang this thing out.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. You're definitely a productive person. 400 videos you're doing and all in the name of liberty. So that's actually great. So we're coming up on Thanksgiving in the U.S. and, of course, Christmas soon after that. That book sounds like a really great sort of Christmas gift to your statist family friends or people at least sort of on the edge of figuring out libertarianism. This might be sort of the kind of book to give them for Christmas sort of thing. And, of course, you can also give them a registration to Anarchapoco, but only do that if they're really, really close, because we don't want a bunch of statists wandering around all confused looking at our conference.
Well, wait, can I say one quick thing? You mentioned Thanksgiving. Last year, you know, I have my own podcast, The Tom Woods Show. I do it Monday through Friday. And I had my own wife on as a guest right around Thanksgiving of 2013, because for all the 12 years we've been married, she has never prepared a dry turkey. It's always moist and delicious. And I was amazed at this because I used to think turkey is just naturally dry, so you have to drown it in gravy. Well, she's got some incredible secret. So I said, all right, you're coming on my show, and you're going to explain to people how to do this. And we've gotten feedback from people saying, thank God you had this episode, because now we have pretty good turkey. We can actually eat our turkey. So if you want to listen to that episode, I actually made a page, tomwoods.com/turkey. You can have good turkey. And then also you can hear about, we ended up going off on tangents. We ended up going on, what did we talk about on our first date? She insists I was talking to her about Austrian economics, and I dispute this completely. And we're going back and forth on this episode about what we talked about on our first date. And I just said, I said to her, you know, look, I'm the editor of this show, so you better watch out what you say.
Yeah, well, you've actually figured out how to make a lot of money. It's like, just talk about food. Just look at Martha Stewart or Anthony Bourdain and all these things. We're definitely in the wrong market if we want to make a ton of money. Although it is definitely growing, and maybe that's something you can comment on because you've been sort of in this business for a long time now. Are you really seeing what I'm seeing, that there's more than ever in our lifetimes a huge uptake in people thinking about concepts of liberty?
Well, definitely. I mean, we'd like it to be 100 times larger than it is,
right.
But it's already 100 times larger than I ever expected it to be in my lifetime. So, I mean, I can't be greedy, I suppose. But, yeah, there's no question about it. Everybody I talk to is having the same experience. I just hope that these it's mostly younger people, not all, but mostly, because they're the ones who are open to new ideas by and large. And I can say that as a guy in his 40s now. That, you know, when you're younger, you're open to new ideas. But what I hope does not happen is that all these good, well-intentioned young kids don't get sucked into the political machine where they start saying, you know, I'd love to tell people about such and such idea or recommend this or that book, but I better not. I got to shut my mouth to make our ideas more politically palatable. I mean, it's one thing if you have a public speech and address, you know, it wouldn't have worked with me if you had immediately said, we got to privatize every single thing. That just wouldn't have worked with me. I wouldn't have registered. It's understandable to find people where they are, talk to them where they are, and inch them in our direction. That I have no problem with. It's the idea that, you know, that once you get involved in politics, in general what happens is you don't even start inching people anymore. It all becomes wheeling and dealing. And eventually when we get elected, then we'll do something. Well, then you get elected and there's some excuse not to do it then, and because now we got to maintain our power. I'm not saying it's absolutely impossible that somebody in public office could do some good. Ron Paul did some good because he encouraged people to read books. That was a good thing. But by and large, people do it because they thirst. The basest aspects of human nature come out. They thirst for domination. And it would be such a shame to build all these kids up and see them sucked into the machine.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the speakers at Anarchapulco is Tim Moen, the Libertarian Party of Canada leader. And he's an anarchist. He's been on Anarchast before. He's coming down to speak here. So he's going to be speaking on those topics. I think there is a potential for the political system to have some value. And that's what Ron Paul said. He said the value really was in educating people. And that's what you just said as well. Getting back to relationships. So that's another way to make some money in the world, is to talk about relationship sort of stuff. And you were talking about sort of inching people. You can't really just slam people over the head with this stuff if they're super indoctrinated into status systems. So I was just on Facebook the other day, and a guy, I don't know how old he was, but he's probably a younger guy, said, I have a girlfriend, and I'm just about to break the news to her that I'm an anarchist. And he was asking people what he should say. And I said, you know what? Make it easy on yourself. Just let her know that you're a voluntarist. And she'll say, what's that? And then you go, I just think all transactions, all human interactions should be voluntary. You shouldn't use violence or force to make people do what you want. And of course, the girl will almost in any case say, oh, I believe that too. And then just leave it at that. And like
exactly.
a week later, just point out just one little thing. Just go, you see, that law, that's actually using force against people. And remember, we're voluntarists, you know, so you got to just slowly walk people
right,
through.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, another way to do it is even more briefly, just say, well, look, if you had to sum up my political philosophy, it would just be, I'm against violence and monopolies. That's all. It's like, well, okay. That sounds all right.
Yeah.
Okay, but wait till you unpack that bait.
Yeah. So that's there's so many different people doing different things. Your books help. Your homeschooling courses are going to help. Things like this program, Anarchast, Anarchapoco, all these things and different people. There's now anarchist movie directors out there. We've had a few on. There's anarchist musicians, including Rob Hussle, who'll be here at Anarchapoco. So there's all different ways to get these messages out there. And that's all we have to do is just keep getting it out there. The one thing I would say is I see too many anarchists or libertarians really just start yelling at people and telling them they're evil and they're stupid. That does not work. That will never work. And it also doesn't really fit with what we're talking about, because what we're talking about is generally fairly peaceful. We're not initiating violence against others. So when you go out and you start yelling at people, it doesn't really fit with the message very well. So just take a deep breath, do some meditation, do some yoga, as I've started doing now. Just take a deep breath. I know it's difficult, but just don't get angry. The first person who gets angry in a debate is the loser.
Absolutely. Yeah. I used to be guilty of that too. I couldn't contain myself.
Yeah.
But I'm much, much better at it now. I mean, you tend to mellow with age, as they say. I haven't mellowed in terms of my intensity, but in my presentation, let's say. Jeff, have you had as a guest a professor named Michael Humer?
No, I haven't.
You should really look into him. He's a anarcho-capitalist at, of all places, the University of Colorado at Boulder. He's a philosophy professor. And he has written what I consider to be one of the most helpful and intriguing books advancing our views in many, many years. And it's got the boring philosophy sort of title, The Problem of Political Authority. And what he does in that book is really he comes up with a lot of very helpful analogies, which is another way to talk to people. Instead of arguing with them and yelling at them, just give them these analogies. So if you try to say, well, we have the government because we have a social contract and we've all consented to it and all that, or if you don't like it, you should just leave, right? That's that sort of argument. He'd just say, well, what if the mafia took over your town? Would it be your view that you would have to leave in that case? Or, but we voted for this government. Well, he would say, all right, well, suppose a bunch of your friends and you go out for drinks and they all vote that you should pay for everybody's drinks. That doesn't mean you have to vote, does it? Or what about, well, fairness requires that if you have talents that you were born with, that's not fair that I wasn't born with any talents. The fruits of your talents should be redistributed. He would say, all right, well, what if I win the lottery? Now, that's as random as can be. That's, if anything, more random than your talents. But there's nothing that says that once I win the lottery, I have to take all my lottery winnings and divide them evenly among the population. That would defeat the purpose of a lottery. So he goes through it. He's just got analogy after analogy. And I find that more than facts and figures, really gets people thinking in a different way, because that's what an analogy is. It tells you that you would think this way if the case were this. Why don't you think that way when the case is the government?
Yeah, absolutely. Analogies are great. Some people do like stats and figures, and so with those people, you give them stats and figures, but many people don't understand it, and I'm actually one of them. I'm one of those kind of people. You can put down a ton of stats and diagrams in front of me, and I'll say, but what does it mean? Tell me, like, explain to me what it means, like, using an example, and that's how I understand things. So everyone understands things in different ways, so yeah, I'll definitely make sure if you're watching Michael Humer, is it?
Yeah, it's H-U-E-M-E-R.
Okay. If you're watching Michael or if anyone knows him, please try to connect us and I'll try to have him on Anarchast. It sounds like he's got a great book that we'll try to also promote. But we should let Tom go. He's got another 286 videos to record. So I really appreciate you taking the time, Tom. I know it's been, I've probably written you about 30 emails and you're always so nice. And I just can't.
No, Jeff, you've been the nice one, because I've basically been saying, look, I'm almost at nervous breakdown work levels, and I can't. People would say, "But look, I just need you to be on my show for half an hour." And I'd say, "But you don't understand. Like, I just can't. I can't do it. I got five kids. I can't do it." But the fact that it is slightly lightening up, and it's going to get a lot better in a few months, made me say, "You know what? To heck with it. Let's talk to Jeff Berwick."
Awesome. So why don't you just briefly, quickly? I know you dropped the URLs of a few things and the names of a few things, but why don't you just once again let people know where they can get the book and the homeschooling course and things like that?
Okay. The book is realdescent.com, and there all the links and stuff are there. The my website is tomwoods.com, and there you can get my podcast and everything else. We've got libertyclassroom.com, and the Ron Paul Homeschool Program is at ronpaulhomeschool.com.
That's great, and I'd like to thank Tom again. And just remember, like, subscribe to these videos, share. That's another very simple way that you can actually affect change in the world, and not many people think about it. I know right down here there's 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 views maybe, and there's 50 likes, 100 likes. When you hit like, it actually spreads the availability of the video to more people. So that's all you really need to do to spread liberty in this day of digital age. And Tom pointed out how easy it is to do so many things, including your own self-publish, your own book, do your own web pages. Get out there and spread this sort of information and create your own information as well. We need more voices, more different styles to explain things to more people. And as more that we can do that, as Tom pointed out, it's gone up 100 times bigger already than he thought, but we need to go another 100 times, which I think is totally possible, and I think it will in the next few years. So just share, like, subscribe, tell your friends. Don't beat them over the head with it, though, if they're not ready for it, as we pointed out. But if they are, if they have questions, definitely forward along Tom's book or our videos, anything you want, anything you think that'll work. So that's it for Anarchast. And don't forget about Anarcopoco, February 27th to March 1st. A lot of great anarchists will be down here talking about all these sort of topics and having a lot of fun. So that's it for Anarchast, your home for anarchy on the internet. Peace, love, and anarchy.
And that's today's show. Remember my new book, Real Dissent? Well, I narrate the audiobook myself. I've had people saying, why don't you read these books? And I say, I know, I agree, I would love to read them. But the publisher never really gives me the opportunity. Well, I am the publisher of Real Dissent, and you can get the audiobook version for free via the offer at TomWoodsAudio.com. There are all kinds of other books there, by the way. You can get Bob Murphy's book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Capitalism. You can get The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Great Depression and the New Deal. You can get one free audiobook at TomWoodsAudio.com. You won't hurt my feelings if it's not Real Dissent. There are many other good audiobooks to choose from. So check that out at TomWoodsAudio.com. Check out my new book, Real Dissent, at RealDissent.com. And we'll be back on Monday with more shows for you. See you then.
The Tom Woods Show.